1FM Burnaby.
Witness the world's best cinema.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Works and encounter live shows that combine music and film at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Taking place from September 28th to October 8th, a stellar lineup of over 130 films from 70 countries will transport you to places you've never been. Embrace the magic of cinema with exceptional storytelling that leaves you captivated and inspired. Be in the room as VIFF Live shows breathe life into stories from the screen, combining live performance and cinema. And go behind the scenes with VIFF Talks, connecting you to the brilliant minds behind the work you love. Explore the program and get tickets now at VIFF.org. That's VIFF.org. Student discounts are available, and if you are between the ages of 19 and 25, you can also join VIFF's free U25 membership program.
Media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And you are joining us this week. If this was a school, your attendance has been shoddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm going to say. I'm calling you out here on your shoddy attendance.
Oh, when I was in school, though, my attendance was so good.
I know.
Even in university, where nobody cared if you skipped class, I still never skipped class. I was a good little boy. Also, I was a nerd, and I actually wanted to be there, and I was spending a lot of money. I was like, hey, no way I'm spending all this money to not go to class.
Higher education is expensive.
Yeah.
I always felt terrible when I missed the class. I was like, oh my god, I am... I wanted to start off today about a bit of an interesting story that came up. The London School of Economics has been looking into, Helena Vieira in particular, has been looking into such thing as gay jobs.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure for our listeners, we're not talking about, male porn actors, in which case that would be literally quite a gay job.
Mm-hmm.
But we are more talking about the idea that women are overrepresented in nursing, men are overrepresented in firefighting, for example. So when we look at the jobs where gay folks are overrepresented...
I don't... disproportionately represented. Because you say overrepresented, that kind of implies it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Disproportionately represented.
Disproportionately represented, yeah. I can make assumptions based on, like, hilarious stereotypes. But I'm sure that some of those stereotypes... I mean, the way that stereotypes work... Some of them will be true, some of them will be completely and totally wrong, and some will be kind of true, but not for the reason you think it is.
Well, the gayuk.com starts off their article with, what do morticians, theatrical directors, and massage therapists have in common?
Oh my god. I know gay men who've done all of those things.
I know, it's so true. I don't know any gay morticians. I don't know any
yes,
morticians.
You do.
Who's a gay mortician?
You sat on the Pride Committee with him. He did the accounts. Yes.
I thought he was just an undertaker. But I suppose he could be a mortician.
He worked in death care.
Yeah.
I mean, I know another stereotype is HR.
This is, yeah, also true.
Yeah.
So,
and social work. I know so many gay men who go into social work, and bisexual men. Actually, I think I know more bisexual men who go into social work than gay men.
Well, according to the study, they found that there was a pattern of disproportionate representation in psychology, law, social work, and university teaching. Also, flight attendants.
Okay, yes.
And lesbian truck drivers.
Lesbian truck drivers. Also
made the list. Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of gay flight attendants, lesbian truck drivers, and I don't know, I do know multiple gay lawyers.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Absolutely. So before we get to the actual theories as to why these particular careers are overrepresentative of gay folks. What is your theory for why we have more homosexual morticians or lesbian truck drivers?
Well, okay, so I know that one of the assumptions is that, and this is a sort of an outdated assumption, that gay men will pattern like women. And I've never felt that. I've always found that like gay men do pattern more like women than straight men do, but not entirely. Like, a lot of these things are kind of this weird down the middle thing. A lot of them are sort of people oriented. Social work is people oriented. I don't know that many like court lawyers who are gay. I know a lot of contract lawyers,
like family lawyers,
What's the word I'm looking for? Sort of the out of court negotiation kind of
arbitrators,
human rights, that kind of thing. What else was on that list? I mean, HR is, I mean, I know that HR wasn't on that list, but HR is kind of a stereotype, and that's very people-oriented. A lot of them are kind of people-oriented jobs, really.
So, Helena Vieira at the London School of Economics has come up with two hypotheses for the overrepresentation of queer folks in certain in certain jobs.
Okay.
The first one is about task independence. So it's the ability to get your stuff done independently on your own without having to depend on co-workers. The theory being that a lot of these jobs are very independent type jobs. And then you're not revealing as much of yourself to co-workers when you have significantly fewer co-workers. Like, morticians aren't a high volume occupancy, or like fire inspectors versus firefighters, I think is the example they use.
Is that still a thing in current year where most people have spent most of their lives in an accepting society? I mean, if you're talking about UK, Canada, the Anglosphere in general, broadly.
Well, I think it's about also being able to control the environment. You know, they look at the difference between massage therapists and construction workers.
Okay.
If you're a construction worker, you're on a large team with a lot of people. There's a lot of variables. Mm-hmm. If you're a massage therapist, it's you, maybe the secretary, maybe the other therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously your clients.
So that's okay. So my day job, I am a technical writer. I write,
which is a very independent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I write user manuals, and my week is a good week when people actually answer my emails and agree to a call. It should be about 80% completely on my own, writing, researching, editing, a lot of copy editing, oh my god, coding, because a lot of what we do is, I do it in markup, I don't do it in like a Word document. And then the other 20% is interviewing people. How does this work? What is the reason that we're doing this? Can you tell me about this product? What is the process going on here? Is it important that the client understands how this works, or can we just say, just click the button, it works, it's fine? So I do spend, and it's actually normal for people in my field as well, to actually set aside 5 to 10% of their week for socializing. It's actually considered to be part of the job.
Well, they're all engineers.
So
if anyone knows engineers, you have to schedule in not being alone. Yeah. So that they actually, you know.
Well, you gotta butter them up. You gotta make friends with people, because if they're busy, they're not gonna make time for you if they don't like you.
Mm.
And they're always busy, and I need them to make time for me. So spending a little bit of that buddy-buddy time is part of the job. It's like really weird how much of my job is actually socializing.
I want you to hold on to that one, because my job, I am the station manager at CIUT-FM.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with working with our staff team, to a lesser degree of volunteers, because so many of them create their content remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of independent work.
Yeah.
Like, it is an incredibly independent work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is social perceptiveness. And that's her second hypothesis.
Oh, okay.
So she said the ability to read people's reactions accurately. She says, goes on to say, since gays and lesbians are often discriminated from a young age, they've honed the skill of perceiving people's reactions from a younger age.
Okay.
Not all gays, not all lesbians, but yeah, the sort of more universal experience, at least for folks who are a bit older, is that you have to be quickly aware of how people are reacting to you, just from, as a survival skill. You know, I don't think we're going to be hunted with pitchforks, but you know what I mean? Like, you want to extricate yourself from certain environments.
Mm-hmm.
So that social perceptiveness piece was the other half of her equation in terms of why certain jobs are recruiting a higher volume of gays and lesbians than other jobs.
Hmm.
So do you agree with social perceptiveness?
Well, I mean, the idea of, like, walking into a conversation and knowing right away how that conversation is going to go, at least in terms of tone, even if not in terms of outcome, in terms of tone, being able to read that, yeah, that's pretty important. I mean, my company is spread out across the world, and there's this one guy in South Africa. He makes me laugh so much, but he is not what you would call a friendly person. He's kind of that charming curmudgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get him in the right mood, he's the most helpful person in the company every time. But you got to get him in the right mood. If he's not in the right mood, you got to put him in the right mood. So that there is a lot of that going on. There's a lot of social skills going on there. And for a lot of these sort of out-of-court lawyers, there's a lot of that as well. Negotiating and trying to get people to agree to stuff or get people to understand, like, look, I know you want to sue this guy, but the law's not on your side. And that kind of thing. Social work, obviously. Obviously.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, I have the list.
Okay.
Occupations, and the data here, by the way, comes from the American Community Survey and the U.S. National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health.
Okay.
So it was these two massive data sets that they were drawing from.
Mm-hmm.
So the occupations with the highest joint proportion of gay and lesbian workers is number one, straight up, psychologists.
Okay.
Which does rely on social perceptiveness as well as independent work.
Now, the problem there is that when you say the word psychologist, you're talking about university researchers on the functioning of the human mind, and you're also talking about
practicing psychologists.
Yes. Yeah. Which usually people distinguish them by calling them psychiatrists, but some...
So psychiatry is the ability to... it's different. It has the medical field.
But the overlap is so significant that they're almost used interchangeably, even though I know there is a difference about what you can do in terms of, like, prescribing drugs and whatnot, whether you can diagnose medical conditions as well. But it's just, so when you're talking about psychologists, you're talking about, like, talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next one is training and developmental specialists and managers. And the fact that I was manager for education is not lost on me.
And your partner's... Well, trained in HR anyway.
Yeah, and then the third one, social and community service managers. Four,
mm-hmm.
technical writers.
Seriously?
Technical writers is number four.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh my God. You are the fourth gayest role. according to, I'm not going to go through all of them, just to round out the top 10, massage therapists, urban planners. You have an obsession with urban planning.
I am obsessed with buses and trains, yeah.
Producers and directors, post-secondary teachers, and then probational and correction specialists. More you knew. What I think is quite interesting is they look at male and female majority occupations and sort of how those work out.
Mm-hmm.
So female majority occupations that have the highest number of lesbians, for example, is psychologists, probation workers, education sociologists. And then for the men in female occupations, female dominated occupations, mm-hmm. is flight attendants, hairdressers, nurses,
mm-hmm.
transportation attendants.
Mm-hmm.
On the male side, there's lesbians who are bus and truck mechanics.
Okay.
Elevator installers is how they come in. If you see an elevator installer that's a woman, according to this, most likely to
when
be
a
lesbian.
When I lived in Toronto, I had a friend who's going to go into that, and she explained to me that her father's best friend owned a company or something like that, and she said it's good money, you get left alone, and you get to drive around town and listen to music, and she just like, I love the idea of having a job where I can just listen to music all day and be left alone.
So I mean, it's great. So what male majority occupations have the most gay men?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, actors, although that does not surprise me.
Okay.
News